Wow, what a great way to start a Sunday. Thanks, you guys, for leading us in worship. For those of you who have been here before and you've heard me come up and share, you'll know that I cannot get through the worship time when these guys are leading without getting emotional. It happens every single time, and I was just actually thinking as I was sitting, like, why is that? Why do I always get emotional whenever our students are up here worshiping? And I think it's a few different things. I mean, I think part of it is the songs that we're singing, what these lyrics mean, and just the love of the Lord for us, and that's a huge part of it. Also, the music is really beautiful. These guys are super talented, and it just, music does that. It evokes emotion. And then I was thinking, part of it is because I'm saying goodbye to some of these students, and so that's emotional. I had to look at Connor right when I was saying that. I remember meeting Connor when he was a freshman. We had a booth set up. I don't know if you remember this, but we had a booth set up on campus. And I'll talk a little bit about reaching freshmen. And Connor is one of those freshmen that came by our booth, and we chatted a little bit. And he said, "Yeah, I've actually, led in worship when I was in high school." And I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome." So I got your number, and in my phone, I think it still says Connor Worship because I forgot your last name. So it just says Connor Worship in my phone. And then I've met Kyle this year, and Kyle's going to be one of our new worship leaders. And so I get emotional thinking about how God continues to raise up students to lead our ministry and to be faithful with that. So it's just awesome what I get to be a part of and what you guys are a part of. And I think that's why it's emotional. So it's good to be here, Caicos Community Church family. You are part of the Cruz Central Coast family. 10 years, maybe we've been doing this, Dale. I'm not sure. It's been a long time. 8, 7, I don't know. But it's good to be here. I'll give a little bit of a family update. I kind of think that's what I do when I come here. I give you an update on what's going on in the Cruz Central Coast family. I also give you a little update on our family. So Gretchen and I have 2 kids. And next year, we will be empty nesters for sure. Jason's been at Cuesta College the last 2 years, and he's going to be going down to Cal State Fullerton. So we're excited about that. And then Grace is in a grad school program down in San Diego State, and she's home for the summer. Well, for part of the summer, she's actually going to be helping to lead one of our summer missions teams to the Middle East. But we've got her for at least a few weeks, which is great. So our kids are doing great. We're excited to have them home, and I guess excited, but also it's sort of a bitter thing. It's a bittersweet, right, when your kids leave the house. You raise them to leave, but when they leave, you want them back, I guess is the way it works. But so that's a little bit about our family. Gretchen and I have been a part of Cruz Central Coast for almost 20 years, and we've been with Cruz for almost 30. We're going to be celebrating 29 years. And we started out at UC Irvine, and we loved it there. We had a smaller ministry where we weren't in charge, which I loved. I love not being in charge. I really do love not being in charge. I hung out with guys that were in fraternities. That was kind of my ministry focus. And I surfed a ton. That was my way of reaching out and just enjoying the guys that I was discipling. And I was good with that. Like, I didn't need the complication of leading of a ministry or anything like that. So we stayed in that place for 8 years, which is kind of unusual for a guy to be on staff with crew and not move up in leadership. And I, again, was perfectly happy with that. The Lord was not, however, and he wanted to stretch me and to bring me into places where I describe it as I needed to become an adult and be willing to take on responsibility and lead. And so Gretchen and I were called to come to San Luis Obispo, which, of all the places on the planet, it's not a bad place to be called to go. But I still was sort of resistant because I just didn't want to be in charge of a ministry. And our first year, we had 300 students involved. And that was completely overwhelming to me. I had come from a ministry of about 80 to 100 students, and the Lord was doing something at Cal Poly through Crew. And in this midst of a 300-person ministry, I remember thinking, though I don't think I ever prayed it, but I remember thinking, Lord, don't make this thing any bigger. I don't want it any bigger than this. This is completely overwhelming. I'm new in leadership. I didn't even want leadership, but now I have this ministry that it's so big. And of course, what the Lord does is the next year he doubled it. So we were 600 students the next year, and then the year after that, 800 to 900 students. And so the thing was just completely growing out of control. I felt in over my head, and it was completely out of control. And I shared this with our student leaders yesterday. We had a gathering at my house, and I just shared that there was this moment where I was in tears at the breakfast table with Gretchen, and I just said, I can't do this. I can't. It's just too much. It's too much for me." And that was the moment where the Lord said, "You got it. You figured it out. You can't do it." Exactly. And it was just such a great moment to release this whole thing to the Lord. And at that time, we had one ministry at Cal Poly. And what the Lord has done since then, largely because of me releasing things to him and just entrusting things to students and staff, we have now 12 different movements. We call them movements. There's 12 different movements that are part of this thing called Crew Central Coast. And Cal Poly is still one of those movements. But we also have stuff going on at Cuesta North campus, Paso Robles. So Gretchen, my wife, gives leadership to that ministry up there. And then we're also as far down south as Hancock College. And so I have a couple staff that go down there one day a week. We've had a chance to see that thing grow from just a handful of students to about a dozen students that were coming at the end of the year. So that's pretty exciting. We're also at Cuesta College. We've been there for a while. We're at Slo High School, so that's kind of a recent thing. We're really excited to be branching out into the high schools. So when you think about Crew Central Coast, what we think about is every student and faculty on the Central Coast, and that's high schools and colleges. So we're currently present on all of the colleges and at Slo High for right now. And we're trusting God for Morro Bay High School next year. It's actually something that we're sensing he wants to do. We're seeing him raise up parents and even some faculty on that campus, as well as some student leaders. So we're excited to see what's going to happen with. So maybe next year when I'm here, I'll be talking about the 13 movements, right, that are part of Crew Central Coast. We have a Greek ministry that's fraternities and sororities. And that's really grown a ton this year. They've had up to 100 students gathering, just who are in the Greek system. A huge percentage of those students don't know Jesus at all. They're not even into spiritual things, but they heard that something is happening in this Greek row meeting, and they wanted to check it out. And what happens there is God's Spirit is really moving, and it's a place where they don't do worship there. They're not doing worship right now because they want it to feel like a safe place for the non-believer. And so they worship not through music, but through sharing about God's word. And then they also worship by students sharing a lot about what's going on in their lives. And it's an amazing time of complete honesty. You have these non-believing students sharing about their struggles with this, that, and the other thing. And they just feel safe to do it. And then they're finding Jesus in the midst of their struggle. So that's been a really cool thing that's been going on. EPIC is our Asian American ministry. We have Destino, which is our ministry to Latinos and Hispanics. We have a ministry called Branded, which is to the Aggie students on campus. So all those involved in the agricultural department on campus. So we have Branded going on, and they had their first retreat this year where they went up into the mountains and do whatever cowboys do when they get together. I'm not totally sure. I don't ask a lot of questions sometimes. We also have a ministry called Valor. Valor is our outreach to, and I spaced it, ROTC students. Thank you, Gretchen. The ROTC students on campus. And there aren't a whole lot of them, and about a third of them are involved in this little Bible study. That's Valor. And then all these ministries have things that they can get involved on regional levels and national levels too. Faculty Commons. That's our ministry to the faculty on our campuses. FCAIA, that's our athletic ministry. That's the 12 right there. And we also have stuff going on overseas. I don't want to bore you with all that, just making lists. But that's what the Lord's doing. And I hope you see me sharing that as a form of worship. I just want us to see that God is big and he works and he moves in the midst of us just being faithful with what we have. So praise God for what he's doing. A lot of times people will ask, okay, so why do you have 12 different movements? Aren't we supposed to be one? Shouldn't we just all be together in one place? Why the division? It doesn't seem biblical. It doesn't seem right. And I think that's a great question to ask. And here's how I see it. Think about the way that Jesus did ministry. He took on human flesh, right? He left heaven and came down to be where the people are and to become like them in order to connect with them. He took on human flesh. He took on ethnicity. He took on race in order to reach a particular people in a particular place. And he adopted their culture, their language, and their way of doing things in order to translate the gospel into a form that they would understand. He came to the people and became like them in order to reach them. The Apostle Paul would do the same thing. If you look at how he went about ministry in the book of Acts, he would contextualize his message to those who were Greek and weren't Jewish. He would refer to their customs and their poets and the people that they knew, and he would contextualize the ministry. And so when we think about reaching every student and faculty on the Central Coast, we need to go where they are, and we need to create places where they're going to come and they'll feel comfortable. They'll feel like, this is my place. They won't have to explain what it's like to be Latin American or to explain what it means to be Asian American or to be involved in the Greek system. They will be around people who understand. They'll be around people who get it, who speak their language, right? Who understand their customs and their ways of doing things. So it's really important, and I'll just say this to you as a church, to not just be invitational, not just invite people to be where you're at, but incarnational, to be where the people are at and to spend time with them. And, you know, we all have hobbies and things that we're into and ways that we can contextualize the gospel and be in places and be with people and be able to speak their language. Mountain biking is one of my contextualized ministries. I like to mountain bike, and there's college students that like to do that. So I understand what it means when they talk about, you know, your travel on your bike and your pivot points, and, you know, I know about that stuff. So anyway, that's why we do the 12 different movements. But we also get together. So we have family night where all 12 movements are together. That's really fun. We gathered in a circle at the end of this last family night. There's like 300 people in this giant circle. And as I looked around the circle, I could see different ethnicities and different students from different pockets of campus. And we all held hands and we prayed. So we do celebrate our unity, but we also are willing to step outside of the bubble and to go where students are at. We just want to create places where a student will, again, feel comfortable. So last night we were celebrating our new leadership that we put into place. And it's a really prayerful process that we go through to select new leaders. And so it made me think about the prayerful process that Jesus went through when he selected his leaders. And I started thinking about the different people who were part of the 12 disciples. And if you think about the 12 disciples, there was all kinds of diversity within those 12 disciples. You had fishermen, very common occupation. They weren't learned men. They weren't men that were of high cultural status. But then you also had a tax collector, Matthew, who was actually a high position of status. But then with Matthew, you also had this guy named Simon the Zealot. And what that meant is he was rebelling against the Roman government. He wanted to crush the Roman government. And then you had Matthew, who was working for the Roman government. So you had this diversity in political positions. In fact, Simon would have called Matthew a traitor. And they're on the same team, right? And then you've got guys that were brothers and some who weren't. And it's just this collection of diversity. Why? Because their task was to take the gospel to all peoples of all nations. And it takes diversity to reach a diverse planet. And so, again, that's why we do this kind of diverse way of ministry, in order to reach every single person. All of our 12 movements have the same DNA. And that DNA is win, build, and send. So win is giving every student an opportunity to hear the gospel. We want to see students interact with the person of Jesus. I could stand up here for probably 30 minutes and talk about all the different ways we go about getting the gospel to students. It's everything from students in their dorms having conversations to big outreaches where we invite the whole campus, our weekly meeting, social events. I mean, there's just so many different ways that we do that, because we want to give every student the opportunity. One of the key ways that we do it is through our freshman survival kit, or the new name, swag bag. So I'll talk about those in a little bit, because that's where you have been partnering as a church to help win students to Christ, is through that ministry. We build them up in their faith. We have community groups in every single dorm on campus, and community groups in every sorority, lots of fraternities, tons of the sports teams, just everywhere, right, to create that place where students can come and hear about Jesus, but also grow in their faith. And then we send students all over the world. The cool thing about our kids leaving is that every place they're going, so Cal State Fullerton and San Diego State, there are former students on staff with crew in those places. And there are students from our ministry leading all over our region, the Pacific Southwest, doing crew ministry. But we also have students who are running an orphanage down in Mexico. We have students who are working at Google and Facebook and Apple, so they're all in the Silicon Valley, doing the same thing that they did on campus: win, build, and send. We have students that are in a closed country in East Asia: win, build, send. We have students who are in a closed country in the Middle East: win, build, send. We have students everywhere doing win, build, send. And that's the vision of Crew Central Coast. We just want to send students all over the world. We want to be known as a sending ground. We want the Central Coast to be known not just for a campus that has a great architecture department or engineering department or the Madonna Inn. We can do better than that. We want to be known as a place that sends to the world, and it's happening. It's an awesome thing to be a part of. Thanks for being a part of it. Well, anytime I come up here and talk about hundreds of students coming at all these meetings and all these big events, I always want to make sure we personalize what we're talking about. And so I have a couple students who are going to be sharing their story of how God's been working in their life through Crew, but certainly outside of Crew and in some different ways. So I'd like to invite Jordan Woodruff to come on up. Jordan, give her a warm welcome. So Jordan is a very brave soul, because she says she doesn't like public speaking all that much, and in sharing her testimony, she's never done it before. So we're just excited. Anytime somebody steps out in faith, right, and is willing to say, "Yes, Lord, here I am," God's going to use that. So thanks for sharing your story.
Wow, getting up here is super scary. Okay, hi, my name is Jordan. I'm 20 years old, and California. I am about to be a third year at Cuesta, and I didn't really grow up with God like at all. My family never really like followed Christ. We never talked about him. We never like did anything with religion-wise, we didn't have a religion. So it was really weird to like pray or read the Bible or talk about God or like anything. So it was just like normal for me. So about a year and a half ago, I moved to Paso with my family, and I met some great I met some great people who invited me to go dancing, so I went line dancing, and I still go to this day. But when I first started going, I met some great people who invited me to go to crew. That was in the summer of 2016. And so I got invited by multiple different people, and it was like I didn't want to, but I just kept getting like invited. So I was like, okay, I'll go once. But I felt so weird and uncomfortable. And so I went, the first time I went was for summer crew, which is like a really like a smaller crew. Like there's not like a lot of people, which is great for me to go, but not at that time. I felt so like strange and uncomfortable there. And it's not that I didn't want to like learn about God. I wasn't curious. It was normal to me. I just never grew up, and my parents were like, why would you go? So I went, and it was weird, and I felt like I didn't belong there. But that whole thing just made me like rethink and why like I was so uncomfortable. And I think that really bothered me, because I was thinking about why I kept going back, and it really bothered me that I was uncomfortable to go. And I felt like I really should like keep going and see what happens, because I didn't want to be uncomfortable. So I kept going every day until big crew. So I started going to big crew, which is like a lot of people with like Cal Poly. And so I started going, and then 4 months later, I got invited to go to Fall Retreat, which is like a weekend away just to be with God and be with all the crew people. And I was like, no, I don't want to go. And I kept getting convinced to go by my friends, and I kept making excuses like, I can't afford it. And they're like, well, we have scholarships, or I don't have a ride, or well, like, we can give you a ride. And I'm just like, okay, fine, I'll go. So I went, and I didn't feel like I belonged. It still kind of felt uncomfortable and like not right to me. But I met some really great people, and I got to like talk about my story and about myself, which was super scary. Even in like little groups, like groups of three, I talked about myself and I started crying because I was so uncomfortable. And I didn't want them to like judge me, because that's what I felt like they were going to do, or like look at me differently. But they just thanked me for coming, and they were so happy that I was there. And that was that was just so like relieving for me. And everyone talked about God like so passionately that I was like so intrigued, and I wanted to learn more about him. So it like went for going with my friends, and then like going to learn about God. And so I got really into it, and I wanted to learn more, and I wanted to like experience what everyone was experiencing. And so I actually remember that the moment that I like decided to follow Christ was during quiet time at Fall Retreat. And I started writing, and I was writing to myself, but then it turned into like writing to God. And I just told him that I wanted to experience him. So after Fall Retreat, I was so excited. I wasn't uncomfortable anymore. I was like, I was so happy, and I felt like I belonged. I look forward to crew because it teaches me new things that I like never knew before. And I love that. That's my favorite part. It's just learning new things and like writing things. And I also like to tell people. So I invite a lot of people to crew now. I get so excited when people come with me, because it's just, I want everyone to like experience like the amazing messages that crew has every week. And it's just so great and powerful and inspirational. for me, so I want everyone to like experience it. So I invite as many people as I can. I love to worship, and that's my like favorite part besides learning about things. And I was so like confused why I didn't, like I was uncomfortable before, but now I'm just like, I love it. I've been going for almost a year now, which is crazy to me. And I go to church and I go to crew and I talk to my family about God every chance I get. So they're more comfortable with it. So that's great. So they're, my whole family's kind of getting a little bit more into God, not as much as I am, but they're more comfortable talking about it. So crew has made me a Christian overall. And I'm really, really proud to be a part of this community and being able to like meet and such amazing people who like inspire me and get to learn more and get closer to God along the way. So yeah, I really love crew. Thank you.
Jordan, I'm so glad you said yes to doing that. Your bravery has blessed us. That is awesome. Oh, I love it. Well, that's Win Build Send. So it's a lot more interesting to listen to somebody, right? Tell the story and to hear it from their mouths. I mean, Win Build Send is an intriguing, you know, strategy, but it's about people, right? About their lives being totally transformed. It's awesome. So we do have another testimony. He wasn't able to be here this morning because he was telling me he works for Mountain Brook Community Church, which is where we meet. And so they've been hosting a lot of proms there. And so he has to clean up after the prom. So he gets done about 2:00 in the morning from cleaning up from the prom. Then he goes over to Charter Communications, where he also serves as a janitor, works as a janitor. He doesn't really serve, but he works as a janitor. And then he has to be back in Mountain Brook this morning to clean in between services. So he's not going to be able to be here this morning, but we have this event called NATO, stands for Night at the Oscars. And at Night at the Oscars, students make these short videos, short films, and we all get all dressed up like it's an Oscar event, and we go to the Fremont. So we host this thing at the Fremont, red carpet, the whole deal. And we get to watch all these videos that students make. And some of them are goofy, and some of them are great, and some of them aren't so great. But it's all entertaining, so it's totally okay. And so one of the videos shown there was by D'Angelo Burton, who is the student that I wanted to have come in and share his testimony. So we're not going to be able to hear it straight from his mouth, but he put together a spoken word that shares his story. So we're going to be showing that to you in just a second. What I'd like to share is how D'Angelo got involved, and that was he came to one of those big, scary crew meetings, and he was sitting by himself. But one of our students came up, noticed that he was sitting by himself, came up to him and sat down. And he said, "Hey, you know, my name's Jonathan. What's yours?" D'Angelo, and they got to know each other. And then at that meeting, they talked about the fall retreat, what Jordan was talking about. And so Jonathan said, "Hey, D'Angelo, are you going to the fall retreat?" And he's like, "Well, I don't know. I don't know anybody." And came up with all the same, you know, excuses or reasons. And he ended up at the fall retreat. And similar sort of story, just the Lord really worked through that retreat and brought about some life change. So that's how he got involved. But I'd love to have us look at the video and just kind of watch and see and listen what God has done in his life. It's pretty amazing.
Conversing words in turn to turn the earth. So I shut my mouth to lose my worth, making the world stop and gravity cease to work. Unconcernedly flinging me into the unobserved universe, and thus I was reverted to thoughts of the unknown I'd only once felt before at birth. Opening my mind to thoughts of a different kind, which perfectly outline its adventures divine. Allowing me to look back through the mirror of time, only to see myself lost following a lie. I was too blind by pride to see all my failed tries raining from the sky, like as if God was crying because he felt what was going on inside. And I was hit so hard by the tears I would hide, they had gathered into an ocean of fire, emphasized by the epistemological height of my selfish desire to die. But see, the devil was brewing, dissolute confusion in my mind, got my head felt like a mental institution. but I stumbled upon the conclusion that I am safe in your presence, which is why I will stand firm when the barreling waves come crashing down on my chest. See, if peace had an essence, I am positive by a minute. This is where fear ceases to exist and the ocean breeze carries love sand. I was done dying, just trying to make sense of the mess. I asked you to take me out of the storm, but you placed me in the center of it. And in the eye, I had clarity in my mind that no matter what surrounds me in life, you are with me all the time. For it only strengthens my faith to know that these trials were implemented by your grace and that you will sustain this heart. Cause out of this world and in your presence, I am falling apart. But you pulled me back together into something that was somewhere beautiful than I had at the start. For this heart now beats with the blood that you shed on the cross, which is why when the lights go out, I will shine in the dark. Definitively stripped from all masculinity, left with no identity, betraying the blood that had once defended me. And this world left me feeling so alone that I came begging at your throne as if to remind you that it was Christ's blood atoned, saving me from sins that were my own. It was a malicious disposition, but my vision had gone missing, and so I was blind to the symptoms, trying to rely on my own primitive intuition, and so to sin I became conditioned. Cause clearly here was a line of perfection, and all above was acceptance, leaving me to question how I was ever gonna make it. Cause even at the height of my prime, I was wallowing deep with their rejection. Only to prove how relentless your love is unending, that you would die for me, someone so far less than worthy, when I was just an insignificant mess in. Yet like a laughingstock in front of the mall you hang, well knowing that I would be the one to blame. Simply so that a seat I might attain in the heavens where you reign eternally as the king. See, now the only thing I ponder on is the wonders of your name. So incredibly awe fixed on the fact that you kept your promises when you came. Freeing the slaves bonded by chains of worldly ways. You gave it all royalty and fame to live a life of dirt and die a death of pain. Yet I find secure assurance in the fact that the sacrifices of your love were not in vain. You were righteous perfection born of the flesh, son of the creator of all things, and who all creation knows your name and will one day sing, Jesus.
Kind of hard to talk after that. That's what we're a part of, right? Rescuing people from just the sin and the darkness and the death. And it's an awesome privilege to be saved by the Lord. Obviously, we don't do anything to deserve that. And it's an incredible honor and privilege that he would ask us to be involved in the saving of others. And thanks for, again, your partnership in that. Just want to describe to you what is in one of these swag bags. And so the way that the swag bags work is at the beginning of every fall, each of our campuses, there's usually some kind of orientation week where these freshmen are coming into college and for the very first time, often on their own, detached from friends and family and everything that once gave them identity and purpose and meaning. And They arrive on this scary big thing called a college campus, and they are searching, and they want to connect. They want to be known. They want to belong to something. And the reality is lots of organizations are trying to get them connected and want a part of the freshman class. And a lot of those have good purposes, but we want to make sure that each of these students has an opportunity to get connected with Christ. So that's what we describe CREW as, a caring community passionate about connecting people to Jesus Christ. And that connection begins their freshman year, right off the bat. I think, honestly, the first 4 weeks of a freshman's time at college will often determine the next 4 years. Who they meet, who they get connected with, that's going to determine their next 4 years. Those 4 years of college often determine a person's next 40 years because you're discerning what you're going to believe in, who you're going to marry, what you're going to do for a living. So these first 4 weeks, which is when we really try to get face-to-face with every freshman as a way of following up these swag bags, pretty important. So here it is. So it comes in an actual bag that's kind of a backpack. See, it has straps, so that's kind of cool. It says CREW Central Coast on it. This year we gave out CREW Central Coast coffee tumblers, so that's pretty cool. We also want to make sure that every student who wants one has a copy of God's Word. So we gave out a complete edition of the ESV version of the Bible. And so every student will have this sitting on their bookshelf. Sometimes they read it right away. Sometimes it sits there on that bookshelf like a time bomb, waiting to go off. When they run into some kind of issue or struggle, and maybe they'll pull it off and start reading God's Word. We also put a list of 50 professors at Cal Poly who are followers of Jesus. So if a student wants to connect with one of their professors or a professor about things of faith and life of the mind, they can go to that professor's office hours or email them. So that's in there. We also had a pair of sunglasses, aka swag. So this is the swaggy part. And then there's also all kinds of flyers. Our barn dance, we do this big barn dance. A lot of freshmen come to that. There's a list of local churches that students can get involved in. Weekly meeting flyer. Coupon for Woodstock's Pizza. Coupon for an online store that is a ministry as well. So that's what's inside of a swag bag. The swag bags are a great gift and a way of welcoming freshmen. But what we also do is a quick little survey to see if students want more information. And then by way of follow-up of that survey, we'll knock on their dorm door or call them up and meet them face-to-face and share the gospel with them. So that's how this works. We will be purchasing, we give away about 3,000 swag bags every year. The cost of a swag bag is about $5 or $6. So we need to raise, you know, $15,000 to $18,000 to reach every single freshman. Is that a lot of money? Yeah, it's a lot of money. Is it worth it? Every penny of it. Absolutely worth it. So we call upon church partners and others to be a part of giving so that we can make these bags available. So we invite you to be a part of that. Dell's going to explain how that takes place, how the giving will work. If you did not bring your checkbook, that's okay. Gretchen and I have some little slips that give you the crew website and the account number. If you want to give online, you can do that as well. But give whatever the Lord leads. People often give $100. Some have given thousands of dollars, honestly. But it's whatever the Lord leads. Thanks, you guys. Always good to be here.
So you have two options. The way it works for the offering we're going to take right now, this is a ministry of our church. If you write a check, please write it to Cayucas Community Church, and the full amount will be combined with this entire offering and forwarded to the project. If you aren't prepared or you would like information to give directly, you can see Jamie and Gretchen, and they can give you information on how you can do that at a later time. And the worship team's going to come up and join me. I think our ushers are ready. And so if you want to give cash in this offering, you don't even have to use one of those envelopes because everything that goes into this offering goes to crew. So you can, if you want a receipt for it, just use one of those little white envelopes in the pew. And thank you for your generous heart toward this ministry. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning, for celebrating how you are at work around our Central Coast and for the privilege of being partners with this ministry. And now we give with joy and with thanksgiving and with expectation for how this will impact additional students in the coming months and years. In Jesus' name, amen.